I am so thankful to spend this day of Pentecost with you in person. We have, through the past more than 2 years, spent so much time apart, including on important festival days like this. In fact, these past 2 years have just been a time of difficulty and challenge and dislocation for so many. And for us as a community, the pandemic has greatly affected our liturgical life. We lived through a time where we didn't gather in person at all, and for part of that, I was just alone in the church talking to a cell phone. Then, thanks be to God, Juan could join. It was the two of us talking to a cell phone. And then we were able to gather again on the lawn. We're here now in the hall. Though I know we're not where we long to be, which is in the church, that day will come. While these times have been disorienting, I think there's also been opportunity and perhaps even gift in them. One of the things that I've been struck in this time is that I think we have gained a new appreciation for the fact that we can worship God, we can gather as a community for liturgy anywhere. And wherever we gather, God is always present, and God is always worshipped through our praise of God. And in fact, I even wonder if dislocation and disruption might allow God to speak to us in new and fresh ways. There can be a way in which breaking out of routine, getting out of the unexpected, provides opportunity for the Holy Spirit to open us, to speak to us in new and fresh ways. In fact, several of you over these years have shared with me moments when God has been present to you, has touched you, even in the disruption and the dislocation. I know throughout this time, even back in those days I was alone in the church, I have experienced God present as we have gathered. There have been profoundly sacred and holy moments. I was thinking about all this week, and I was reminded, and forgive me those of you who have heard this story before, but I was reminded of back in 2006 when I was fortunate enough to travel to France to go on retreat with the Teze community. I arrived there on the seventh Sunday of Easter, stayed through the day of Pentecost, so every year in this time I think about that experience. But what I thought of in particular this year was how the early time of that retreat was for me idyllic. There were only a small number of people there. It was very quiet. I had lots of silence. But as the week progressed, people began to join as they came for the festival of Pentecost. And by the day of Pentecost, there were 2,500 people in the church. It was no longer quiet. There were people everywhere. It was challenging to find that contemplative space of the previous days. And as the Eucharist began on that Pentecost morning, I found myself unsettled, maybe if I'm honest, even a little grumpy. That may be hard to imagine. But the quiet was gone. And I was unsettled by this. And then in that unsettledness, that grumpiness, that longing for the quiet of previous days, we began to chant. And we sang the chant, Veni, Sancta Spiritus, come, Holy Spirit. And then over that simple chant of the congregation, the brothers were singing verses in all languages, or various languages, verses which asked the Holy Spirit to shine forth from heaven, for the breath of God to come from the four winds of the earth, for the Spirit to disperse the shadows over us, to renew and strengthen us. That simple chant transformed my experience. It became, for me, the perfect Pentecost experience. It became a gift of worshiping on Pentecost morning with several thousand people from all over the world, most of whom were under the age of 30, and all of whom praise God in their own language. So multiple languages all at the same time. It was noisy, it was unruly, it was chaotic. And I think it probably was like that first day of Pentecost. That day when the Holy Spirit came noisily, with violent wind and tongues of flame, when the crowd heard the disciples speaking in multiple languages, when all witnessed the power of God in ways they could understand. We hear about that in our lesson today. We hear about that first day of Pentecost from the book of Acts, and it is not contemplative. It is not quiet. I would have been unsettled by it, because the wind of the Spirit rushes in violently with a loud noise. It attracts a crowd. The followers of Jesus receive the Holy Spirit, and they are unsettled too. Their lives are changed forever. Nothing for them, nothing for the world is ever the same. As it says in hymn 507 that we'll sing in a little bit, tell of how the ascended Jesus armed a people for his own, how 100 men and women turned the known world upside down to its dark and furthest corners by the wind of heaven blown. Now it is true, the Holy Spirit can certainly come to us in those times I experienced early in the week of quiet contemplation. Those times we may be praying alone, walking quietly in creation, being on retreat somewhere. Certainly this is true in Scripture. Elijah experiences this on Mount Horeb when God is present not in the wind, the earthquake, the fire, all those noisy things, but in the small voice that comes out of the sheer silence. But there are those other times when the Holy Spirit comes in power and might with great sound and great activity and upsets things as they are, leaving nothing as it was. The Holy Spirit swoops in to recreate, to make us a new creation, to call us from the ways that things have been into new places, into new ways of being. The Spirit turns things upside down, transforming us and transforming the world. As we sang in our psalm today, you send forth your Spirit, and so you renew the face of the earth. On that first Pentecost, there's no doubt the Holy Spirit rushes in with great power and calls the 100 followers of Jesus to be transformed. And so those disciples are able to leave behind their fear. They get out of that room behind their locked doors. They let go of being worried that they will be killed as Jesus was. And filled with the Holy Spirit, they leave behind that fear and they take the good news to the ends of the world. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, they become the very presence of Jesus in the world. No longer do they wait for Jesus to appear to them and direct them. Instead, now God abides literally within them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God is close as breath, heart, mind. And through the Spirit, they are empowered to go forth and teach and preach, to witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus. They boldly proclaim through their word and deed the love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the end, their witness causes most of them to give their lives as martyrs, the ultimate witness. And that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all people. Those human boundaries that we create, those divisions we use to regulate who's in, who's out, who's worthy, who is not, the Spirit tears those down. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, all people are one. All people are beloved children of God. The Spirit calls the followers of Jesus into lives of unity, calls the followers of Jesus to fight against injustice, to be sure there are no outcasts, that all are one, just as Jesus prays at the Last Supper, that all may be one. The Holy Spirit is given so that all people can know the saving power of God. That first Pentecost, the disciples preach the power of God. They witness to God's acts of love made known in Jesus, and they do so in languages that everyone can understand. Those listening hear the disciples in their native languages. God no longer distant, remote. God not speaking only to a few select people. Now God the Spirit speaks in languages all understand. God's call, God's invitation to the divine life extended to all people. So it's not surprising, given that's all true, that this is one of the days the Book of Common Prayer sets aside for baptism. And so in a few moments, we will renew our baptismal covenant. And in the vows that we make and that we will renew, we reject Satan and all the evil of this world. We affirm that we believe in God. We promise to be faithful in loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul. We promise to love our neighbor as ourself. And we promise that we will work for justice, that we will care for those in need. And we promise that we will proclaim by word and deed through the witness of our lives the good news of Jesus. None of these vows can we undertake by ourselves. I think it's so intentional that the response to each of our vows when we renew them is, I will with God's help. For it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can make these vows and that we can live them as God calls us to. It's only through the Holy Spirit, in fact, that we are able to do anything, that we are able to pray, even as the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, as the Spirit offers prayers when we don't know how. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can overcome the sin and the evil of this world, resisting those human impulses that draw us away from the love of God. In short, we can do nothing except through the grace of God's Spirit poured out on us as a gift, filling us and abiding with us. So those first followers of Jesus may have been sad on that ascension day when Jesus went up into heaven and they stand looking up, probably wishing he wouldn't leave them. But once the Holy Spirit descends on them, they no longer look up. Instead, they look out, they look ahead, they look to where God leads them. They listen for the promptings of the Spirit calling them to do God's work. They leave behind anxiety and fear, and they trust the power of God to keep them safe for eternity, no matter what happens in this age. The Holy Spirit dramatically transforms those first followers of Jesus and empowers them to do extraordinary things in Jesus' name. And so the Spirit does with us. The Spirit descending that first Pentecost is the same Spirit that we have received. Pentecost brings the great gift of God to humanity. God the Spirit dwelling with us. God present with us always. God breathing in and through us. God not remote and far, but as close as our breath. Sanctifying us, setting us apart for holy work as God's people. On this day of Pentecost, let us ask the Spirit to enlighten our hearts and our minds, to sharpen our discernment and our hearing, that we are alert to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When God calls from the sheer silence in that quiet voice, or when God rushes in dramatic, upsetting, life-changing ways, may we respond by claiming the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. May we be empowered by the Spirit for the work of ministry in the world. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, may our witness and the witness of all who follow Christ renew the face of the earth as the Holy Spirit draws all people into unity, calling each person in language they understand. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, may we all be one and share the divine life of God now in this world and in the age to come. Amen. Amen.